Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin. Have you ever wondered what a Pixar animated fish could teach us about growing a Toastmasters club? More than you might imagine. Today, we'll dive deep beneath the surface to discover how one club turned an unlikely undersea inspiration into a wave of membership growth. Our guest today is the immediate past president of a Toastmasters club who will share how he and his fellow members and fellow executive turned an unlikely source of inspiration into a remarkable success story. Suneet Singh is a finance and accounting leader with over a decade of experience across financial services and software industries. He's a CPA, an MBA. He has worked with Fortune 500 organizations as well as smaller private companies in New York, Delhi, and Toronto. He's been a Toastmaster for 5 years, and he says he's enjoyed every moment of the journey, meeting people from diverse backgrounds, hearing their stories while developing himself as a communicator and a leader. He is currently a member of ART, Advanced Royal Toastmasters, an online club based in Toronto, Canada. Suneet is also the author of How Nemo Inspired Us to Grow Our Membership, which is also titled A Wave of Success, How Our Club Doubled Its Membership, in the print edition, which appears in the July 2026 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Coming to us today from Kitchener, Ontario, Canada, just an hour west of Toronto, Suneet Singh, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you so much, Greg. So wonderful to be here.
It's my pleasure. I got to start off. Every Toastmasters club is always looking for ways to grow. We're always looking for new members. To kick us off, I have to ask Suneet, how did Finding Nemo swim into this membership discussion?
That's a wonderful question. I think it's a mixture of luck, hard work, and just loving that movie. I have nephews and nieces who love that movie, and I get to watch it every time I visit them. And the thing that has always struck me about that movie is that it's really about finding your identity, finding your tribe. When we started, I became president about 1.5, 2 years back. At that time, I joined the club and I was like, this is an excellent club, but we don't really have that many members. We had 8 members. And what's wrong? Why? How do we do that? And so we started with the most important question. What is our identity? It's a seemingly simple question, but it's really hard to define. And that process really helped us to figure out what we stand for, what we aspire to be, and convey that message to guests. And I think that helped us to get more members. If you look around, you know, there's this question, or rather, there's this slogan, find your tribe. It's really a very powerful comment, because I feel that those Toastmasters clubs are most successful that can define their identity and that can help people find their tribe.
For those of you who haven't seen the movie Finding Nemo, it came out in 2003. It's a Pixar computer animated film. And in essence, it's about an overprotective clownfish named Marlin who crosses the ocean to find his abducted son, Nemo. Does that sort of sum it up, or do you have something else to add to that?
Absolutely. And it's a story we see almost, you know, in every household where a child almost rebels against his father, goes out in protest and is captured, and the father goes out and protects him and gets him back. In the process, both of them develop a love for each other. The child develops, you know, a love for his father, a respect for his father. And it's a story about, you know, that personal bond between a parent and a child, and learning to appreciate the father's love.
So how did those lessons resonate with your executive committee? How did you sort of blend that into what you were doing with the club?
I think the first part, again, was, you know, just figuring out who we are. What do we want to be? Who do we aspire to be? You know, if you visit our club, you will find it's a very relaxed, friendly atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And that is very important for us. Some of the advanced clubs tend to be more structured, and we have consciously decided we want to be a bit flexible. That is part of who we are, part of our identity. And we wanted to create an environment where everybody is respected, everybody feels comfortable, and at the same time, they get challenged, everybody gets challenged to develop their best potential. So that's sort of the environment that we wanted to develop. And it's not an easy process. As with the movie, there are challenges, there are conflicts. And the most important part of the movie is, you know, there's a dialogue where one of the fish says, keep swimming. And that is really the essence, that at art, we want to keep swimming. We want to keep growing. We want to continue to challenging ourselves.
Before we deep dive, pardon the pun, into a little more as to how you applied some of these lessons, in the article you mentioned, you say Finding Nemo is the best strategy movie ever made. I mean, that's quite a statement.
Yes, because I love the movie, and it's, as I said, it's about conflict, it's about growing up, it's about figuring out how to meet challenges. So we are an online club, and one of the challenges that we see is, you know, especially after COVID, you know, a lot of people want to do in-person meetings. So it's a pretty decent challenge for an online club. How do you identify yourself? How do you create a place for yourself? And the answer is, at least for us, this is one of the rare places where you can come and you can interact with people from different parts of the world. In our art meeting, we had a meeting today, and we had individuals from UK. We had individuals from Argentina. We had an individual from the US. We had three people from Canada. We had somebody dialing from India. That's pretty rare. I don't get on a lot of calls where I get to interact with people from around the world. And the perspective these people bring, the stories they share, that's our identity.
I think I'd like to just take a step back. So it sounds to me like, as opposed to just asking the question, how are we going to grow our club? How are we going to get our members? You started with the club identity. Who are we? How did you come up with that? What process did you use to get to that point?
So there are four other advanced clubs in District 60 itself. So our club falls under District 60. And the first question is, okay, how are we different from, because forget about outside District 60. First of all, within District 60, how are we different? If we are not able to tell this ourselves, how do we distinguish ourselves to our guests? So that was the first step. And part of it is talking to our club members and asking them, you know, what do they want from the club? Because anybody who's coming to the club is going to be spending 1 hour, and that's an important part of his or her day or life. And we want to ensure that they get the best benefit. So our first point was discussing with the members, what is it that we want to become? And so it involved a lot of self-reflection as well. This doesn't happen in a day. We brought in guests, different guests. We liked hearing people outside of our club as well. And it's just a process of discussion, basically.
So what were some of the things they were saying? What were they saying in terms of what they wanted? And what other things were they saying in terms of how they felt that their club was unique?
Wonderful. So the common refrain that we heard from every member was, we love coming to art. And we asked this question from our members as well as guests. The most common refrain was, you know, we love coming here. This is a very relaxed environment. Everybody is very welcoming. People laugh during meetings. People smile during meetings. It's structured. We only meet for an hour, so between 12 to 1 p.m. And within that, we try and have a lot of activities. We'll have two speeches. We'll have table topics. We'll give a chance to get, you know, for guests to speak. And the other thing we try very consciously to do is make people comfortable. So for us, what that means is, when we are giving evaluations, as an example, we want to provide the best-in-class evaluations, but we also want the person to grow in that process. That means being a bit empathetic towards the person. We have had first-timers coming give speeches because we allow guests to come and give speeches. Oh, wow. We have had, you know, people going to district contests come and give speeches, different levels of speakers. Every evaluation has a goal. How do I help the speaker get to the next level? So that is the attitude that you will see across the club members. Okay. How do we help each other to grow?
So you touched on a few of the specifics. Can you tell me about a few more of the initiatives? And also, just curiosity, were there some that had a bigger impact than others?
One of the things that has helped our MEMSA lot is getting speakers outside of the usual sort of thing. For example, we had somebody who was a jail warden come in and share his experiences. Then we had somebody who had gone through a divorce, and she talked about, you know, how do you grow from there? How do you build yourself up? So these kind of discussions help the members. These are all relatable topics, right? We see it in our everyday life. So it's not just about communication, but these are personal topics that impact and benefit everybody in their lives. Then we had somebody who had been a Toastmaster for 30 years, and she talked about how to make the most of Toastmasters. And our specific ask of her was, see, this is an advanced club. So almost everybody here thinks they know everything about Toastmasters, right? So you have to come in and you have to provide us a different perspective. Because if you come in here and say, oh, go become an area director or go become a division director, that's not going to cut it. So you have to share something that is different. She was very succinct. She was a very good speaker, Dawn Frail, and we enjoyed listening to her. So those kind of discussions, we like to challenge our speakers. That's how we try and make it different. As in another example, we had one of the world championships. She came in second or third. Our ask of her was, everybody here is a good speaker. So when you talk about, you know, how to give a good speech or something, it has to be at a different level. You're not looking for generic answers, because these people have competed at district championships. They are very good. Some of them are professional speakers. So it has to be something more to add value. I think that helps a lot.
What I discovered in this little conversation here was that often we look at the mechanics, the vocal variety, the gestures. We might look for angles. We might look for different elements of a speech. But it sounds like you're focusing on the topic and focusing on the story. I think that's actually fairly unique. Also, the topics are challenging, right? Talking about divorce is not the easiest thing to talk about. I was really curious. You mentioned in the article about speaking to a 20-year prison guard. What was that like? What was the message? What did you learn from that?
His name is Neil Dunsmore. He's a very interesting person because, like, when I heard, and he was referred to me by somebody, when I heard his background, I was like, jail warden, and he's a Toastmaster, and he speaks like, it doesn't add up. But he's a very interesting personality, and he spoke about experiences of helping people out with mental anxiety. And as you said, these were stories. He told us a story, and that's what connected it to us. It was a beautiful story. It was a beautiful personal story. You know, in Toastmasters, we hear a lot, you know, tell your story. But you actually connect with a person when they also show their vulnerability. So Neil, through his story, showed us the vulnerable part of his life. And that's what connected with us, because that's what makes us human, right?
Yeah, it's really going deeper. I also liked when you talked about inviting the world champs. Often they will come and they will share their secrets of a better speech, and they'll talk a little bit about their journey. I love the fact that you had specific asks from them. They said, can you come to our club and do this? I thought that was actually very powerful. I think that's fairly unique. I haven't really come across that.
Yeah, I'll give you another example. So we have Morag Matheson coming in, I think next week or week after. And our specific ask of her was, you have led an organization that is all volunteer-based, right? And a volunteer-based organization has a specific set of challenges. Anybody can say, oh, I don't want to work tomorrow. So how do you lead in such an organization? That's what we want to hear. Because that is really what then I can take and apply in my Toastmasters club or in my professional job or somewhere where it's leadership without the standard set of rules.
Wow. Were there any surprises going through this exercise or these series of exercises?
Surprises, I think. There are always surprises. One of the things that I have learned is people look at things differently. Different people have different opinions. You might be thinking of things in a certain way, and somebody else might be thinking of the same thing in a very different way. So it's very important to get feedback, especially as like the president. You know, I had a vision of where I want to take the club, how I want to lead the club. And just talking to people helped me a lot to understand my blind spots.
Wow. Was there a moment when you realized, hey, we've got something here, we figured it out? Because obviously you did, you doubled your membership.
I want to say we haven't figured it out. We are in the process. As my article says, we want to keep swimming. We want to keep figuring it out. But what has been reassuring for us is, and which I believe is the best compliment that we get, whenever we have guests, they leave with a positive impact. Whenever we have guests, we follow up with them and we ask them, you know, did you enjoy the meetings? And we ask for specifics. What worked for you in the meeting? What didn't you enjoy? What can we improve for the next meeting? And many a times, you know, we have guests, oh, you know, I love your club, but I can't join for whatever reason. And we leave them with the option that come by, come whenever you want, because we want to hear from people. We want to hear your stories. You enrich our club when you visit us, because every individual has some story. Every individual has some perspective. And in our club, we have a lot of guests that come in repeatedly who are not members, you know, who have their own reasons for not joining permanently, but we value their contribution.
Was there anything you tried that you said, we tried this, it's not really going to work for us?
Yeah. So one of the members had suggested that why don't we do a meeting with, you know, just table topics, and that didn't work out.
When you started to see the change, what did you start to see? Did you see the numbers growing? Was it the energy in the club? Was it the way the members talked about the club? Where did you start to see this momentum happening?
Yes, it's a multitude. What I've seen is that it's, you know, not one factor. It's one factor supplementing the other factor. The first thing that you notice is when I started out, we used to have 8 people, you know, in our meetings. Suddenly you're seeing 10, suddenly you're seeing 12, you're seeing more guests. You know, those guests are inviting other guests. Another example would be, you know, one lady guest, she wanted to give a speech. She came to our club, she gave a speech, she invited her friend. And then the friend commented, oh, this is so wonderful, I want to come again. Then what we did was we started a WhatsApp group for friends. Let's say you don't want to join, but you want to know what's happening in art. So we add you to that club. And that became a very important tool for us for communicating with a lot of people. It has about 60 members, and we post, you know, whatever is happening in the club and how the meetings went. And we became very active in the district. You know, when we invite, you know, world champions, others want to come, and we always keep a portion for tag team table topics, which is something that we do, which is somewhat different from how other clubs do it, so that people can see, get a flavor of our club, and then they want to come again. So all these things kind of together in sum total gave us a feeling, okay, we are on the right path. When you have people returning, when you have people commenting that they are enjoying the vibe of the club, when you have people saying, oh, you guys are really efficient and you really do a good job, when you have guests saying, I really enjoyed and felt very comfortable, I think that tells you that, you know, you must be doing something right.
Tag team.
Tag team is, we'll give you a topic. Greg, tell us about how AI is shaping podcasts. And Greg will, you know, do a 1 to 2 minute speech on it quickly. And then immediately we'll ask somebody, okay, Sunit, why don't you evaluate Greg's speech? And this helps us in two ways. This replicates real life, because that's how it happens. On the spot, you're asked to say something. Second, it helps to improve your listening skills, because I can assure you, unless you're listening properly, it's really hard to evaluate somebody in that quick, short moment. And lastly, it's a lot of fun, because you think you're a good evaluator, but try evaluating somebody just after 1 or 2 minutes.
Even as an experienced Toastmaster, it can certainly be challenging. I just want to reiterate the reason I asked that original question as to what changed first, the numbers, the energy, or the way members talked about the club, is because sometimes a club is moving forward, but they're maybe not looking at the right metric. They're moving forward, but they're not seeing maybe the numbers initially, or they're not seeing the initial energy. So they feel that they're not making progress when in fact they are. It's just taking a little bit longer.
I think for me, it was personally the energy, because when I started going to the meetings with I could just feel, you know, newer members come in, guests come in, and that kind of energized me itself. You know, it's kind of the energy energizes you, right? That, okay, mm-hmm. we have these people, let's try something different. Let's reach out to Alex Mate, you know, and get him and speak in our club. And, you know, let's, another thing that we have done really well is marketing. So we create flyers for these events. And we post it in different WhatsApp groups. We post it in the district. So that is something that we are very active on social media. And that has also helped us a lot. So okay. if any club is trying to build membership, if any club is trying to spread their story, I think they need to be active on social media.
Yeah. I was going to ask that next question because you mentioned that in the meeting you had today, you had some people from Canada, from India, from the UK. So I was kind of curious as to how they found you.
Yeah. So we are very active. I want to say in District 16, we are one of the most active on Facebook. In District 60, we publicize a lot of events. Whatever WhatsApp group we can find, we'll post about meetings. We also encourage our members, you know, wherever they go, because a lot of our members go to different clubs as guests, you know, talk about our club, talk about art. Mm-hmm. Some people find us through the Toastmasters website. We actually had somebody from Australia. So this is really funny because the time that we meet, 12 to 1 p.m. Toronto, is 12 o'clock almost in Australia. And when he joined, we were like, how is this going to work for him? It's 12 o'clock midnight his time. I don't know the specifics, but his job was such that he came from the job, he attended our meeting, and he loved it. And we loved having him. You know, our club is very active in bringing in people from different countries, right? That's another, from India, we've had, you know, somebody come to evaluate a speech. So we bring in a lot of guest evaluators, guest speakers. That's one way to create awareness about our club. Let's say I'm talking to you. I'll ask you, Greg, tell me two people that you've thoroughly enjoyed talking to and who I can invite to my club as an evaluator or a guest speaker. And when those two people come, I'll ask them, you know, give me two names that I can reach out. So that's how we try and reach out to people.
Yeah, the multiplier or the domino effect.
The multiplier effect, exactly. Because that's my question to every member in my club and executive. When you talk to anybody and you enjoy talking to them, ask them who are the two people, three people that you enjoy talking to, and they will suggest you good people. What I've learned is people are generally interested in sharing their own stories.
Speaking of personal stories, let's step away from the membership aspect for a moment. And Suneet, tell us a little bit about your Toastmasters journey. How did Toastmasters first come into your life?
Sure. So about 5 years back, I was working for a software company. And one of my, you know, colleagues, I had never heard of Toastmasters. And she told me, oh, you must go and visit this club. There was a corporate club. And I made a lot of excuses. I don't have time. I'm busy in work. And she said, no, you have to go. So she forced me to come to a meeting. And I sat through the meeting and I enjoyed it. And then I met some really welcoming people who encouraged me to do my icebreaker and, you know, different sort of stuff from there. I had a funny episode. I attended an advanced club, and that was actually a turning point for me because we were sitting there. They had an open house. It was an in-person meeting. And one of the guys who was doing table topics said, oh, would any of the guests like to answer a question? I was looking at my feet because I did not want to go up there and answer a question. And then suddenly a lady, and I still remember her face. I remember everything about her. She walked to the podium and she said, I'll answer the question. And they gave her a question and she answered the question. She was clearly not good in English, but her confidence was sky high. And I felt really embarrassed that day. It was like, here is someone who's not good in English, who does not have half, you know, the fluency that I have. And she has double or triple the courage to walk up to the podium, answer the question. She was smiling all through. After the meeting, you know, after she spoke, she got a thundering applause. And I said, I should have been in her shoes. So that moment has always struck with me. A lot of people have those moments because you see people achieving and it's very inspiring.
I'm just wondering, you went through this process of this rebuild using the lessons from Nemo. What have you learned about yourself as an individual or as a leader going through this process?
A couple of things. The first and the most important thing, you can't do it alone. I want to think that I'm pretty efficient, I'm pretty organized, but there's no way in hell that I could have done what we have done without the support of my executive, without the support of my members. There are hundreds of things to be done. The advice that I have got, the support that I have got, I am very, very thankful for that. So that was a big learning for me, that if you want to really do something, then you have to reach out to people, and people are generally more than willing to help. The Absolutely. Second for me as a leader was, we did not know that we'll be successful, right? But if you want to try and make a difference, you have to understand what people want, what our members want, and you have to connect with them. You have to share what your vision is. You have to understand where they want to go, and you have to take them along. That was part of it. And lastly, I think it's really important to have that feedback loop. I always get surprised. Even now, there will be things that somebody will bring up that I would have never imagined in my wildest of dreams. As an example, you know, we had our moment of truth meeting today. The moment of truth meeting is one where, you know, you have all the club members, and it's kind of a reflection of what are the things that the club is doing well, what are the club's things that the club can improve. And essentially, it's, you know, it helps the club members to just take a step back and identify what are the things you want to improve and become a better version of yourself. And somebody mentioned something which I would not have guessed in 1,000 years. I thought we were doing an excellent job there, the point that he mentioned. But obviously, he felt a gap. And that's the learning. And I admitted to him, I said, if you feel that way, then it's a failing for us. And it's something that we need to improve in this year. So I think that feedback loop is really important.
Well, this has certainly been some sage advice. And folks, if you found a little treasure beneath the surface in today's conversation, please share it with your friends and family and fellow Toastmasters. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And don't forget, you can now subscribe at toastmasterspodcast.com/subscribe, and also ensure that you read Sunit's article, How Nemo Inspired Us to Grow Our Membership. And if you're looking at the PDF print edition, it's called A Wave of Success, How Our Club Doubled Its Membership, which is in the July 2026 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Sunit, before we wrap up, perhaps you can let everyone know where they can reach out to you or how they can find out about ART Toastmasters Club.
Absolutely. And thank you for that. First of all, we love having guests. So if anybody wants to come in and have a taste of our club, you're more than welcome. You can send an email at arttoastmasters@gmail.com, or you can send an email to me at sp1.sunit@gmail.com. Either of these two emails work.
And we'll certainly put links to all that information in the show notes. Sunit Singh, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today, and keep on swimming.
Thank you so much, Greg. Love talking to you.